Hey, and happy Monday, everyone. Hello, Tiffany. How are you?
Hello.
Can you hear me okay? It seems like a little echoey.
Test.
Yes,
hello.
Yes.
Hello.
All right,
hello.
I hear you. Well, you know, it was wishful thinking that I am, but I ended
up... Is it hear me through your earphones, or do you hear me because I'm so loud in
I hear you in my nightmares, okay? I mean dreams, you know that. So, happy Monday, Tiffany. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Excellent. I'm glad you got that extra big smile today.
I do.
Something must
have
happened.
There's somebody in the studio.
Oh, we'll get to him later. You know, let's build some anticipation with our audience out there. Okay. So hello, everyone out there in Radio Land. You've tuned in to WRLR 98.3 FM, of course. And if you're either on the radio, it's 98.3 FM. If you're on the internet, it's WRLR.FM.
Ooh.
Okay, either one. But why am I telling you? You probably know that already because you're listening.
Yes, but, well... That is true, but the listeners, what if they couldn't for some reason next week?
That's true.
Now they know.
Now all their answers are taken care of. What a quick show. So thank you very much. Tune in next week. Okay. So anyway, you've tuned in to Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. I'm your host, Marty Jalove, and of course, I can't do it by myself.
You can't?
No, I need my bestest buddy.
Tiffany.
There you go. And thank you so much, Tiffany. I just want to say one more time, thank you so much for being who you are. Okay? You're kind of like my radio wife. Okay? That's what I'm going to consider you. Okay? You like that?
I do, because it's pretty accurate.
Yes, exactly.
Because you're my husband.
Yeah, there you go. So it's perfect like that, right? Okay, so I just wanted
each other's nerves,
oh,
you know?
Constantly, right?
Just like a marriage.
And we're constantly going, well, and now the show's over. Thank God. Okay? No, I'm just kidding. I look forward to coming and doing the show with you. That big grin, that those witty whips of wisdom that you share with everybody there. Does that make sense? All right.
See, you're just trying to come up with something.
Something.
But I'll go for it.
All right, good.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, I knew you would. Knew you would. All right, so if you've tuned in for the first time, again, this is Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. Our motto here, our feeling, the whole journey we take is this, that life is filled with reasons to get angry, sad, even afraid.
Mm.
Happiness is outnumbered 3-1. So we're going to help you exercise that happiness muscle. All right, we're going to help you... find those paths to your own happiness, you know, and share some shortcuts. And so that's what the whole show's about. And today, Tiff, you know what we're going to be talking about? This is something we have in common.
Hmm.
Aside from being workmates, we also have our own spouses on the outside in what some people call the real world.
Oh.
Okay, yeah, you know that.
We do.
Yeah, that.
I wonder if they have an issue with us. We're kind of... Married.
Yeah,
we're
exactly. I'm sure they're fine with it, right? They're probably looking for that relief. Thank God. Thank God he's going.
We get 1 hour away.
Exactly. So today's show is all going to be about spouses.
Mm.
And when we talk about spouses, I'm not just talking about necessarily the perfect definition, you know, the Webster definition of spouses. I'm talking about there's some people with civil unions, some people that just live together, some people who are just, you know, they're mates for life. But it's that deep, deep relationship. Those people that you choose, you go out of your way to choose to say, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Those are the people I really want to talk to. And like you mentioned, there's somebody in the room with us. I scoured the world. I mean, I went through all over the,
We do have listeners all over the world.
Yes, exactly. And I was traversing through Canada. I went to Zimbabwe, all over the world, trying to find somebody who would be the best person to talk about spouses.
Mm.
Okay. And here I find somebody right in our own backyard. Can you believe this? All right. So I would like to introduce this person professionally.
Okay.
All right. I'd like to. I don't think I'm going to, but I'd like
You're
to.
You're going to give it
all
a
right,
try.
Here we go. So our guest today is William P. Zenobia. Did I say that last name correct?
You did. You got
all right.
Perfect.
Excellent. So William P. Zenobia is an author of the book A Stranger in the Home, Your Guide to Navigating the World of Step-Parenting. All right. He and his wife have been married for 14 years. Congratulations. Okay. Was that today? 14 years today?
July 11th.
Okay. You know what, William, just because I want the listeners to listen to you, I want you to get closer to the mic as you speak. Perfect. Awesome. All right. All right. As a step-parent, he learned some valuable lessons and many things he did not expect. More importantly, he has used his knowledge as a step-parent. More importantly, he has used his knowledge as a step-parent. I don't know. It looks like there was supposed to be something else there. I probably omitted it. But He has also worked as a health and life coach for the past 14 years. So, wow, that's excellent. So married 14 years and worked as a health and life coach. He has worked in the world of film as an actor. I want to hear more about that, some of the things we might have seen you in or heard you in. Okay. He and his wife are active in ministry in Wisconsin, and William helps keep ministers connected with each other so they have someone to lean on as a resource.
Dang, you're busy.
No kidding, right? I thought I was busy. He has used these experiences to help others when it comes to effectively communicating in all aspects of life, because every situation... There you go. Every situation can be unique. Look at that. Here, I'm telling William to get close to the mic, and then it's all because his mic was off.
And you know, it's kind of funny is because you're teaching me the board.
And you found
and
it.
I found
Look
it.
At that. That was a test, Tiffany, and you passed
and
the
I
test.
Passed.
Excellent. All right. So now, William, stop getting so close to the mic. Okay.
No,
all right.
No, you're good.
All right.
It is about relationships.
There you go. There you go. Wow. There you go. Now you're nice and loud. Perfect.
Good.
All right. So. William, tell us a little bit about this idea that you're in a ministry, that you are a health and life coach. Give us the 30-second more detail, or 60 seconds. If we might even let you go more than 60 seconds if it's interesting.
90 seconds.
If it's interesting.
On what aspect? On the book? On all of it? On my life story?
If you only had 30 seconds to speak to the world, okay, what would you pitch? What would you tell them about?
I would say, call me. And we'll talk.
Oh, nice.
Because you'll have more than 30 seconds.
There you go. Yeah. But what is your life goal? What is the thing that's your biggest, your greatest passion?
You know, when I look at everything that I've done in my life, I honestly look at the fact that I like improving people to make them a better version of themselves.
Oh, see.
And in all honesty, every time I look at it, that's... Which is why I wrote the book.
Okay, excellent. We got the right guy for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that's what our show is all about, is helping people find those paths to happiness. So this is perfect. Okay, and so tell us a little bit. So you've been married 14 years, and you've been doing this health and life coaching for 14 years.
Yes.
Did it just all happen one day while you're saying I do to each other, going, hey, while we're doing, do you want to go and help other people?
It was your wife a little help of getting you into that path?
No, I am the entrepreneur, and my wife is the I've got to punch a clock.
Okay,
very much so. We are that way. We are very we are very much opposite. So I've always been entrepreneurial. The health and life coach goes into, and this is a different show altogether.
Okay, yeah.
But to look at me, you want to know. But I'm somebody who's been on my deathbed 5 times.
Oh, wow!
So I've learned a lot about health, wellness, and so it's always been a deep-rooted passion of mine. I've been a bodybuilder, all those things. So talking to people about their health, helping them to get healthier, teaching them things that they don't know has just always been a passion of mine. It's a space I'm very comfortable in.
Sure. So that's incredible. So you're on the deathbed 5 times, and so that was just this like calling to you to go, if I can get past this, I'm going to show other people how to get through everything, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, in all honesty, yeah, I think that's where it started for sure.
Okay.
So after the third time, fourth time, the fifth time, you finally realize God's like, hello, I'm trying to tell you where you need to go and
either
what
that
to
or
teach.
He's realizing he's parked cat. He's only got 4 more, right?
That could be the case, too. We're
but
not
you know
sure
what? 4 more ain't bad.
No,
all right?
I've survived 5. I can keep going.
There
like
you
the
go.
Energizer Bunny. You
there
know?
You go. Okay. So, William, so today... what we do, and can I give you an explanation, and for those of you out there who are listening for the first time, what we do is we live by one little quick motto, and that is all things can be solved, or all things get better with a little bacon. So what we do is we...
Crispy bacon.
Yeah, she insists on that, so we'll just give her moment.
You choke on the stringy stuff.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Man.
Thank
throw
you.
Them out there.
And now I turn their mics off. I prefer chewy bacon. I like soft, chewy bacon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So anyway, before I turn their mics off. So what we're going to do is this, is we use the acronym BACON, because it's not so much about the bacon for doing.
It's the bacon for...
I got you.
You did
I did. I did. All right. It's not. Yeah. It's not about the bacon for chewing.
It's the bacon for doing.
That's right.
You did not do that on purpose.
I'm gonna say I did.
Okay.
And that's my lie for
Misty
the day.
Misty different.
So anyway, so what we're going to do is I want to cover these kinds of things really quickly, and then we're going to share some stories and go into each one a little bit more in depth.
Perfect.
So up. First off, I just want to tell you that this idea of marriage is a beautiful institution that requires an immense amount of effort and dedication. And anyone who gets into a marriage thinking otherwise is really sadly mistaken.
Mm-hmm. It's
going to take work, but it's the work that you absolutely love doing, because the rewards from a marriage that you're working on and constantly work and making better and better and growing and evolving together is something, it's just incredible. It's something mm-hmm. so wonderful and magical.
Right.
It's different than everywhere else. And when somebody had asked me, why are you going to do a show just about spouses? I mean, that's so specific. And I said, because when you think about family relationships, we are thrown into the family we were born to, right? I'm a little baby. I look up and these are my parents. These are my siblings.
No, you are not Baby Joe.
I am not Baby Joe. No, I'm not. thank goodness. But we are thrown into those families. And so you grow from an infant through that, and you're growing to love the person because out of necessity, because I can't survive without them. On the flip side, when you have children, you look at them and there's something about it going, I was involved in the creation of this child. This is incredible. Or you get this feeling, like a stepchild, get this feeling of, I have an incredible responsibility to help this person because they're so young, they can't take care of themselves yet. And so you have this great love. But a spouse is something different, because this is someone that you really, like I said in the crosstalk earlier, is someone you handpicked, someone you went out of your way and you found enough in that person in the beginning to say, I am willing to bet that we can be together for the rest of our lives. And you understand that you're going to grow and evolve and change throughout life like this, but it's the work that you're going to put into it. So this is what we want to talk about. And so the bacon today is going to be these five things I'd like to get into. But you know what, William, I'm going to tip my hat to you if you jump in and say, you know what, Marty, I like those, but you also forgot this. All right. So I'm more than happy to learn today.
He's pretty good at letting you do that. I do it to him all the time.
Really?
I do.
Oh, well, boy.
You know, if I say, I do like that, there's a couple of times I'm like, ooh, that's a good one. Or other times it's like, I don't know.
All right, so we go back to the drawing board. So anyway, so the B is going to be simple. B is building trust, okay? Every great relationship has got to be based on trust, okay? A is appreciate each other,
mm-hmm.
all right? And we're going to get more into detail what appreciating each other really means. C is communicate effectively.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's not just about talking. It's not just mm-hmm. sitting there going, Okay. It's really communicating effectively. O is overcoming challenges together. Remember, now that you're married, you are one unit. You're still two individuals, but you are working together on some of these things. So overcoming challenges together.
What mine is mine and what his is mine.
Yes, exactly. Okay. That's right. So we're there's two guys in this room and one woman, and us guys were already outnumbered. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Right. And of course, the N is nurture your relationship. All right. And you know, this is a cool thing, William. You'll enjoy this, because every week we come up with another acronym, BACON. And N, there's a lot of times N is always nurture something. It's always about taking care and growing and feeding, whether it be a relationship or whatever it is. So it's nothing different than today. So with that, Tiffany, why don't we throw you a moment, all right, and give us one of your quotes.
All righty.
Let's start this off.
I'm going to start this one off, my first one.
There you go.
The ones who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones that do.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, isn't
okay.
that good?
That's a brilliant quote.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, who said that?
William Zambodia.
Zenobia.
See? I can't even pronounce like, so, it.
It's okay. I've been called Zamboni and everything
Zenobia.
Else.
Zenobia.
I should know. I have a friend that her first name is Zenobia.
Well, I've got history on that, actually.
Yeah.
You have history on
that? Well, yeah.
You should. On the last name, wish Zenobia. We had a camera here. Tiffany's fangirling all over William Zenobia.
Yeah. See, wasn't that good?
That was a good. I listened to him like going, I think I've heard that. I don't know who said that. I know what was worse was when you said the name. I'm like, you know, I don't think I know him.
How did he get in here?
That's right. Oh, excellent. Can you say it one more time? Okay. I want to hear it. So I want to really talk about it, what that really means to us.
The ones who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones that do.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. So William, I'm going to have you grab that. What did you really mean when you dig deep into that?
Well, so I mentioned some of the challenges that I've been through in life.
Sure.
And so what I've realized, because I meet a lot of people like you do.
Sure.
And what you realize in life is everybody deals with the same stuff.
Right. Yes.
Right? Some people can overcome it and some people can't. But the ones that strive and change the world
yes.
are the ones who don't ever stop. The ones who somebody says, hey, you can't do it, you do it anyway, right? You can take so many scenarios in life where you have, I mean, NFL started yesterday,
sure.
right?
Okay.
So we could take that as an example.
Okay.
You know, you hear some of the football players where they were in gangs or they were doing this or that, and then they come out and they make themselves better. And I'm not going to get in trouble for this, hopefully, but Donald Driver
okay.
of the Green Bay Packers was
yes.
a good example. Him and his brother were in gangs. And
okay.
he left gangs and became the person he did because he had met his future wife.
Wow.
So a woman changed his life.
That's probably not the first time.
No,
that
not
has
at all.
Right,
yeah,
right.
But that's, and he could have gone the path and stayed the way he was. So, but he was willing to take a risk
sure.
on something else and change his life. So when you talk about being crazy, I mean, you know, we're not talking Mel Gibson and, you know, Lethal Weapon necessarily, but,
right, right.
you know, but you're willing to go
sure.
and you're willing to run for that thing that nobody else is.
Right. I think to build on that, I think there's something, and we'll talk sometimes in generalizations here, but that's a perfect example of a football player who is extremely masculine. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And he is somebody who's his whole life, his livelihood is hitting other people, stopping people, you know, and just being, you know, muscle bound. Okay. And so it's very easy for that person to live a life of a lot of anger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And just being, I want my way. That's my square foot. I'm going to go there. That's my parking space. You know, it's going to be someone who could be very mean. And so when they find that right woman, okay, again, generally speaking, who's going to be softer and found something within him and he found something within her, it's a big gamble for someone like that because that guy has to show an immense amount of vulnerability to this woman.
Yep.
That is something that he is probably not necessarily comfortable with sharing with anyone else. So to find that special someone, and she was the one who, like, tamed the beast. Okay, so it's a beautiful story. I love the way that is. I always talk about this in marriages, in couples. It seems to be the most successful ones are what I call is the kite and the string. Okay, that every couple needs a kite. The person who's the dreamer, the wild one that wants to do crazy things, but they also, a kite can't fly without the string. Okay, and the string just lays on the ground without the kite. So they need each other, and they both have very specific jobs. Okay, that the kite wants to do some crazy things, but the string says, no, let's hold on, let's calm down, and let's think about this before we go through it. And vice versa, the string, who's just really taut and doesn't know what it wants to do, sometimes it needs the kite to pull it and say, come on up in the air with me, and let's do something crazy. And it's not to say that in every relationship, there's that one person's the kite all the time and the other person's the string all the time. It's vice versa. But I believe that somebody leans in one direction more often and the other person in the other, and they make a perfect combination. Two kites or two pieces of string, it's tough. It's tough. Two pieces of string can tie the knot, but it might not last.
All right, William laughs at your jokes.
There you go. Nice. So we might have him back. All right. All right. So what about you, Tiff? Anything you want to add to that part of it? I mean, we jumped all over this whole thing about what about you and Mark? Mark was the beast, right? Mark was one of those like professional wrestlers, and then you calmed him right down.
Hmm.
Yeah.
No.
You were the professional wrestler.
We were actually, we're very similar.
Okay.
Very similar in ways that I know in some couples, one takes a risk.
Sure.
And the other one doesn't necessarily.
Yes.
And that's kind of like the whole kite flying
thing.
Right,
right.
We both really don't like doing risky stuff.
Okay. All right.
So is it good or bad? I don't know. Because there's certain things that maybe we should try. And if one of us pushed each other, we might
sure.
do it. But I don't think we're very... He is, though, 100%. And I know on your website, William, you had my best friend. I mean, I can tell him anything, and
there you go.
I mean, he'll, well, most of the time listen to me.
But he's a man. He's like, all right.
Especially, I shouldn't say anything why the Dallas game is on. But,
that's,
you know,
right. Sure,
other
sure, right.
than that, and he'll totally give me his honest opinion. Like,
good.
If I'm going out with my friends or whatever, I say, you know, how do I look? Do you like it? He'll totally tell me the truth.
Wait a second. We had a couple shows ago that I asked, do you ever ask him what you look like? And you go, no, I never ask him. Oh,
no,
and that was,
I did.
Oh, I've got it recorded.
You do probably have it recorded. But I do, and he'll
okay.
And that's what,
and he'll
I just
be honest.
Totally
and
honest.
He'll be honest.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So, but I noticed that on your website about, because you were saying that your wife is your best friend and,
yeah,
and stuff, and that's, I think that's why we lasted as long as we did.
And I think you have to give yourself a little bit more credit, Tiff, and that is that you said both of you are kind of like the string. Both of you are not risk takers.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole idea is that Tiffany considers herself a very shy person, but yet she has no problem coming here and being on the radio. Okay.
Because I'm talking to you.
Yeah, well, okay. But, all right, thank you.
Well, right,
thank you.
But you're still going across the airway, and you're
right,
still
you're
vulnerable
doing,
because of what you're doing.
There's a lot of people who would be like, I will never go on the radio.
Right.
Are you kidding? That, because certain things that, you know, that you're doing, other people are going to consider, wow, that's kind of a risk. You're kind of brave to do that. So I'm just saying, don't sell yourself short.
Well, thanks, Marty.
Certainly. And so there are times that you're going to be a little more risky, and Mark's going to be the one to go, all right, fine, I'll tag along. And vice versa, he'll do something a little risky, and you'll say, sure, I'll go with you. Okay? So it's going to happen all the time.
I guess it's true, like snowmobiling.
Sure.
That's a little bit of a risk.
Yeah. And do you go with him ever?
I have. I haven't for a while, but
okay.
Yes, I used to.
Because it's a boys' trip, that's why. Okay.
Well,
all
they
right.
need their boys' trips.
All right. So let's just jump into this next part, and that is the letter B, when we talked about building trust. It was really interesting. So throughout the summer in Lake Zurich, at the farmer's market, I work a booth called the Old Coots.
Did you do that this year?
Yes, I did it this year.
And so
it drives me crazy because I was called into joining, and they said, look, this is this thing called the Old Coots giving bad advice. And I said, wait, are you asking me to join because you think I'm old, which I don't consider myself old, or my advice is bad? And they were like, a little bit of both. But anyway, the reason I'm bringing this up was... this last Friday was our last time doing it for the summer. And this young girl came up, and she was 21. She was with her girlfriend. And she asked...
How you doing?
Yeah, that's what she said. That's right. Anyway, no, she said, look, I'm in a relationship, and we've been in a relationship for a while, and my boyfriend cheated on me. Okay? And he cheated on me, but it was so uncharacteristic of him, and we want to get back together. And I said, okay, when you say we want to get back together, what do you both want to get together? Is he saying he wants to get back together? And she says, yes, and I want to. And I said, but? And she goes, but I could never trust him again. Mm. And I go, as soon as you said that, I go, you just answered your own question. If you're going to tell me that you could never trust him again, then how can you, what are you building your relationship on?
Right.
Now, if you tell me that it will take me a while to earn his trust, or for him to earn my trust, it will take me some time, that's something worth maybe building upon. But I said, also, you're 21, you're young, it's up to you. I'm not going to tell you. I don't know the guy. I don't know the circumstances. I'm not going to tell you, no, never see him again. But trust is such an important word. And I said, you have to analyze that and ask him straight out, what are you going to do so that I can learn to trust you again? Just that. How are you going to convince me that I should trust you again?
I got to tell you, that was some pretty good advice. So
Thank you
must have been in the wrong booth.
But I just truly believe this whole idea that in any relationship, you know, when you're first dating, that whole idea that suddenly you have to be vulnerable with the person and you have to open yourself up, you know, the first time, whatever it is, the first time you lean in for a kiss, the first time you go to grab her hand, you know, sleep with the woman, whatever, sleep with the other person, whatever the deal is, there's a certain amount of vulnerability and you have to, it's all got to be based on trust. Like, I think I know this person enough that I can trust them, that I can open up, you know, and you know, be my real self.
Well, to build trust.
Yes.
My wife and I. Our first, I'm going to say 3 dates.
Okay.
I didn't do a lot of talking. I
you
learned
didn't?
How to listen.
Yes.
No. She, so for those who don't know, when I married my wife, I woke up and had four children. That's my story.
Okay.
So we knew each other from church. We started dating. We went on our first date. And she didn't hold back. She just came out and said, okay, this is my baggage. I have this. I have four children.
Sure.
I have an ex-spouse. I have this. And so she laid out just how it was because she did not want to play games. She wasn't
right.
in the mood to say, hey, I just want to hook up.
Right, right.
Kind of a thing. It wasn't like that. And so, yeah, so no, she, the first couple of dates we had, they were your 3-4 hour dates. And she just laid out, she figured if he stays after this, yeah. then maybe he's worth it.
Sure, sure.
Okay,
yes.
I have to ask, were you scared at all? Like, ooh.
You know what? No. And do you want to know why?
Because she was so pretty.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
She's very pretty.
Oh, she's
pretty.
She's beautiful.
I saw the website.
You think us men are so shallow. She's so pretty.
Yeah, she is very pretty.
We are shallow.
I waited for her, too, because I had the crazy part, right? I had plenty of people telling me. I got married when I was 40 years old. And okay. I had plenty of people tell me, oh, your standards are too high. You're never going to meet a woman that looks like that. Yada, yada, yada. Serious. I'm telling you, I got it and more.
Marty didn't think you could get Christy.
No, that's for sure. That's a whole, I'm not going to get into that. That's a long story. But I'll tell you, it's a similar thing. So I got divorced and I have two children. And I met Christy, who has two little girls. And Christy's much younger than me. And much, much younger than me. She's gorgeous and so much younger than me. It's almost illegal, okay? Because I know she's listening. But anyway, when we first started dating, I was like head over heels with her. And I got to meet her daughters, and I loved their daughters like right away. I remember being more nervous talking to her daughters than ever talking to her, okay? And it was really, because I was like, oh my God, they're going to determine my fate here, right?
Yep.
And there was a point in time when we were dating, and our littlest one, her youngest, is Lauren. And at the time, Lauren was 5.
Oh, she was itty bitty.
Yeah, and I liked her, and she was silly, and she was calling me out, like, who are you anyway? You know, that kind of stuff. And I liked her right from the beginning, but I had to keep questioning myself, am I ready to start with another 5-year-old? Mm-hmm. You know, it was my kids were a little older than that, and 5 years old is pretty young. And so Christy and I dated for 4 years, and then it was kind of funny because all of a sudden I go, oh, Lauren's 9. Oh, I could be the father of a 9-year-old. And it was obviously I'm oversimplifying this, but I love my two children, and I love my bonus daughters.
Okay? There you go.
Yeah,
way to do it.
Yeah. And so they're absolutely wonderful. But it was the same thing. It's very interesting when you walk into that. And you love that person you want to be the spouse, but they have things, I'm going to call them things, they have, but it's
baggage.
I was going to say baggage, because that's what it is, and everybody has it. It's whether or not you decide to deal with it.
Right,
right?
And some things are, oh, you have this, this is wonderful, and other things, oh, you have this. You know, you marry someone, and you're like, oh, you have $600,000 in student loans. Oh, that's good, too, okay? But you marry someone else going, oh, you have a beautiful home. You have a beautiful car, all right? And so you just weigh the difference, and you can say any one of those things can be good or bad, okay? And so I don't mind using the term baggage, but I think that's one of those terms that people listen to, and they hear, and they go, oh, that sounds really negative, okay? And so I just want us to say that it's the baggage, that it's the additional things that the people bring to the marriage. That's all it is. It's not necessarily, we're not necessarily saying it's good or bad. It's just the entire entity.
It's the entire package.
Exactly.
So you get the whole package.
The 5 times that you were sick or
on the deathbed.
On the deathbed.
Yes.
Were you with her?
The last time, yes.
That must have been stressful.
So and I know, I know we're ahead of the game here, but that was one of the challenges we had to overcome. I had contracted meningitis for the 3rd time.
Oh.
And I went into critical ICU with 105.6 temperature.
Oh, man.
And 10 hours later, they were asking her if we had things in order, and they didn't expect me to make it through the night. And she was kind of in shock because she's like, well, sure he will. And I did. So,
excellent. So
that was a tough one.
That could be her baggage.
Well, because the children were still young. We'd only been married for about not quite 2 years.
Oh,
and
sure.
So they were still, 5 to 11.
Yeah. So she knew about your medical history. right?
You know what? Point. She did, because here's the thing. I never hid it from her. She knew I had been sick, but I hadn't gone into the detail of what the things were that I had dealt with. And the miracle was, is my one of my brothers was walking by, because the doctor's asking her, hey, what about this? And she didn't know everything, and he started to lay it out, and she was like, wow.
Yeah.
I knew he had stuff, but I didn't know it was this detail.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's been so, like every 2 or 3 years he dies, so just be ready.
That cat, I'm telling you.
Yes. So,
at least I'm not a black cat.
There you go.
So that's
right.
That helps, right? Yeah, so that's your baggage.
Yeah, exactly. Well, to come into a marriage and say, look, this is how, you know, and when I said that you can look at things positive or negatively, you could say, look at this. I've got poor health. I've been on my deathbed 4 times now that you've met me. Or you can say, I've cheated death 4 times. I'm lucky.
I'm an overcomer.
Right.
I'm
an
overcomer, baby.
Exactly.
Good point, Marty.
It's all
very
the way,
good point.
The all the way that you look at it.
Yep.
All right. So we're gonna come back to that again, because that's all right. If we don't stay in order, then we'll forget somebody and a letter, and somebody will go, you misspelled bacon. Okay. So I want to jump into this. Is appreciate each other is the A, appreciate each other. And so, Tiff, do you have any kind of quotes that lean towards appreciate each other?
Boy.
If not, then just give us another one of your quotes.
Oh, see, you put me on the spot.
Did I put you on the spot? You knew you were going to be doing this.
A good husband wipes her tears, but a great husband listens to the story why she's crying.
Oh, that is so nice. That's
so, right. So I'm going to sound like a sap, but I'll tell you something.
Oh, away.
This is a good one. I told my wife when we got married that if I ever made her cry, that I wanted to be able to hold her while she was crying.
Aww.
Oh, wow. That's good. Man, that's our t-shirt for the day. Okay, you like that one?
That would be
That's a good one.
I should rate that's a good quote.
It's a really good man.
Brilliant quote.
You know, I try to set the bar high for other husbands, but man, you just set that really high. That was an Olympic height right there. No, that's beautiful. I agree. That's a very strong statement. Because you know what? I like that because there's more meaning to it. There's a lot of meaning behind that. And that is that if I'm the one who makes you cry, you have no idea how much I'm suffering with this, too. And I'm willing to do anything to turn that around.
But it could be happy cry.
Well, I don't think he was necessary. Well, sure.
Well, I was referring to the sometimes when it's a... Because if I say it, if I'm the one who makes you cry, usually...
Right.
It's not necessarily you've done something, but I mean, considering we're in the room different, Marty say stuff sometimes.
Yeah, but Marty makes me cry a lot, but it's all good things.
Exactly.
Right.
So there might be things he might compliment me, my eyes start to water, so that I go, oh my God, you're going to make me cry. So it does
make us better. I'll buy that.
Because I do cry a lot.
But I do agree with what you're saying is that if I hurt Christy, if I did something that really brought her to tears, it would tear me apart on the inside, and I would want to do anything I can to make it better. And so this idea of just let me hold you and let you, you know, just to let you know that we're going to get through this.
Okay, but at the time, if you made them cry in a bad way, they really don't want you to hold them.
Oh, you're digging too deep into this, Tiff.
I'm sorry, they need their space.
Sometimes there's got to be a lyrical language that it's just got to sound more beautiful. It's the intent of it. Okay, what he's saying is
literally, I want to hold her.
You totally took away the alto sax and threw in like the bagpipe.
Exactly.
What did you do there?
So this you're saying has got in the front, and then we'll have Tiffany's explanation on the back.
But if it's a happy cry, if you made her cry go, oh my gosh, hug her and hold her and.
So as soon as you walk away, people are going, am I supposed to read the back of that shirt? Look at how much copies that. All right. So, Tiffany, do you think Mark appreciates you?
I do.
Ooh, wow. That was quick.
I do.
How? What does Mark do to show you that he appreciates you? I love throwing her under the bus like that.
But there is so many things.
There is so many things. I cannot even name one.
Gosh. Well, besides, he'll sometimes buy me gifts.
Okay.
Very sweet.
Good.
Because he'll sometimes not say exactly how he feels.
Right.
So he does buy certain things.
Okay.
He'll text me all through the day. So yeah. I know that he's thinking about me.
Got oh.
So he does that probably like 3 or 4 times during the day. He'll just text and say hi, you know, that type of stuff. So, I mean, little stuff like that. So that's...
Okay, cool, cool. I do the same thing. I try to text Christy all the time, just the I love you. Even if it's anything that goes back and forth, if she says, hey, on the way home, can you pick up bread or something like that? I go, yes, I will. I love you. We'll send hearts to each other. And it's that communication all the time. In fact, it's neat on my phone from, you know, you go from phone to phone and you transfer the data. The conversation that Christy and I've had, which is over 8 years, because we've been married 8 years, dated for 4 years. The entire conversation.
Text, you never deleted.
It's never been deleted.
Oh my God.
So isn't that awesome?
Yeah. And, it takes forever to scroll back that far, but it's amazing when you read back some of those wonderful things. And the two of us text each other so much. There's a lot in there.
I bet there
is. Yes. So it's beautiful. But that's the way that, you know, we show we appreciate each other.
Yeah. And I was going to say that the texting thing, I mean, you can get teenagers who all they do is they're on the phone.
Sure.
Right. And you can't pull them off the phone. But I tell people, send a text, even if you know, because again, we're entrepreneurial, we might have that freedom.
Sure.
So my wife punches a clock, but I constantly text her as well.
Sure.
And say, hey, this is what's going on, I love you, how's your day going, you know, those kinds of things. And she might not be able to respond right away, but she knows. I'm thinking about her all the time.
And when she looks at her phone, she, like you said, she may not be able to reply, but I'm guarantee you, it puts a little smile on her face.
Yeah.
It does.
It does.
One of the things that Christy, my at-home wife. Wow. Sorry.
Well, we are in the studio.
There you go. Right. One of the things that Christy does for me is I used to travel a lot, and I'd fly out every month, and when I would send her a text, hey, I'm on the airplane, all right, I'll text you when I land. So I just wanted to communicate with her. When I went into airplane mode, sometime during the trip, she would send me a series of like 6 or 10 texts, just fun texts saying I love you, etc., so that when I landed, I could turn on my phone, take it off airplane mode, and it would go ding, 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 and all these messages would come. And so that just became a regular thing. And so that just makes it all that much more beautiful.
Go ahead. I was going to say, do you guys believe in love at first sight?
I'll answer. I'll jump in because we did a whole show on this. I believe in lust at first sight, and then it turns into love over time.
Okay.
And I would agree with that only because my wife told me that she loved me within 30 days.
Oh.
And I did not because I had just come out of a rough relationship.
Okay.
So it was 5 months after that. But this is what I told her, though. I said, if I tell you that I love you, you know that I'm all in and I'm not turning
around. Right, right.
And so then when I told her, she
knew. So you told her 31 days.
No, it wasn't. No, it was...
That's right.
It was several months.
Right.
But she was patient with me. So
I just think people who say, oh, it was love at first sight, we fell in love immediately, I don't think they're really understanding what love means.
I agree.
And I think that's what it is. And so they're almost doing the term love a disjustice. You know, an injustice by saying, oh, we fell in love immediately. No, you can't fall in love. There's some kind of attraction, a chemical reaction that we look and go, wow, I found her so attractive. I loved what she said. Whatever it is, there was something there that made us like the person, lust for the person. And it could be lust for them physically, intellectually, you know, whatever. But I want to spend time with this person. And then over time, it turns into love.
We have a listener, Jill.
Yes. What does Jill have to say?
Said, she knew she was going to marry her husband when she walked into the office. And they've been married 42 years.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Wow. Well, congratulations, Jill. I'm very happy for you. See, but I think what ends up happening is I think we either like someone or we lust for them in the beginning, and over time it nurtures and it turns into love.
Like you said, lust, and then you're like, ooh, I kind of want to get to know this person. Then they're getting to know the person.
Yeah, and it grows because if the highlight was that first moment, then what does it grow into? If it's already love, what does it grow into? Mm-hmm. You know, you could say, oh, it turns into deeper love. Okay, fine.
Do you think it could turn into a deeper friendship?
Certainly.
Well, because I would tell you that, you know, I thought my wife was cute right away.
Okay.
Right. And so, and we had a connection. We had a lot in common. So maybe the love piece is you meet somebody and you say you're in love right away because you have that commonality too.
Right.
I mean, we talk about lust and you talk about lust and everybody's mind just goes to, hey, we're going to have sex, right?
Exactly.
And
exactly.
There's a lot more to it than that, you know? Because like Jill who texted mm-hmm. you, my parents were engaged. I think they were married in 3 months.
Okay.
And unfortunately, my mother passed in November. Otherwise, today would have been their 58th wedding anniversary.
58. Wow.
They would have been married 58 years today.
Okay.
Yeah. So they had it before 9/11 happened. But yeah, it would have been 58 years today.
You've heard the saying that if you like a flower, you'll pluck it and keep it, right? And if you love a flower, you will nurture it, you'll water it, you'll protect it, okay? Mm-hmm. And then I believe the next part is if you lust a flower, you will contemplate breaking the rules to obtain it.
Okay? I've never heard that.
No, because I made that part up, that last part up, okay?
That's a Marty to love quote.
Yeah. But I like it because that's the reality behind it is when you lust somebody or lust something, you contemplate, not necessarily you'll break the rules, but you'll contemplate breaking the rules because I want to do something to have that.
So I'm going to add something here, and I wasn't sure I was going to mention this, but I'm totally going to add this because this wraps in like three things here in our story, right? So our first date, I don't know that she's listening, but our first date,
yes.
You know, it was about a 3-hour date. We shut down the restaurant, that kind of a thing. And my wife, being a mother of 4 children.
Yes.
Had very high standards, and not everybody does, but she does. So I'm going to share this one little thing because it's interesting. So the night that we said goodbye, she had a hard time letting go because she trusted me. She was comfortable with me, right? So we hugged for a very long time. But she looked up at me because she fits right about here for those who can't see, right? On my chest.
On the chest.
You know, she's tiny.
William's doing a Tiffany.
So anyway, but she says to me, she goes, I'm not going to kiss you. I said, okay. She goes, I'm not kissing you tonight. I said, okay. And she said, I'm not kissing you unless we get married. And I said, okay. And she said, but don't you want to know why? And I said, you must have a good reason. And that's good enough for me.
Wow.
So that got rid of the lust part. Because eventually, you know, 3-4 months later, but that building trust.
Sure.
I never tried to force myself on her. None of that ever happened.
Because you knew in advance.
Well, I knew. But then when she was ready.
Yes.
Then it was okay.
She'd step on you.
Right. But again, yes, exactly. Because back then, having dealt with what she did, you know, her previous marriage was not good, so there were a lot of things. So she had things that she had to deal with to be able to get to that building trust stage.
Right, right.
To be able to do that. But again, I knew in advance, and I don't know how the guys are out there, but for me, I was like, well, this is great, because you mentioned, when do I do the first kiss? When do I hold hands? And I was like, dude, I don't got to figure any of this out. This is great.
That's excellent. Nice. I'm sorry, there's just a little
carpet
thing.
Oh, it's the rug thing. I'm sorry, I thought it was the cord.
No problem. All right. I think, and just I want to add on to that, man, we're like zipping through time here and we're about to get to letter C. But one of the things is I think today's kids, and I'm not just today's kids, for many generations, we're rushing through this. We're trying so quickly to get to sex. Mm-hmm. We're trying so quickly to get to that next step that we forget how to treasure all of those firsts.
Yep.
Okay. Just how about having the open conversation and really the thrill of touching hands, the thrilling of just walking together hand in hand.
The butterflies get when you first touch their hand.
Instead, we're being forced in our minds to feel like, it's not successful unless we sleep together.
Yeah.
And it's so sad because I'm not saying, you have to save yourself for marriage. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying let's change the entire world. What I am saying is take your time and enjoy these things step by step. Because as soon as you leapfrog right into bed with someone, you will never appreciate that first kiss.
You will never.
And it's just so special. Why not enjoy those types of things? You know, it's kind of like, you know, let's say you're eating dinner and somebody puts out this beautiful dinner in front of you and there's vegetables and a meat and all this kind of stuff. And you say, well, I'm going to eat the dessert first. And while I'm eating the dessert, I will have all this other stuff. And you're mixing everything in your mouth at one time. You're like,
what? I didn't come up with this.
And you're like, wasn't that delicious? No, it was awful.
So I got a question then.
Go ahead.
Do you both being married, are you still affectionate?
Oh, yeah.
In public? I mean, do you still hold hands in public and do those things?
I love holding my wife's hand.
Well, and I say that because we do. At church, they actually refer to us as the newlyweds, and we've been married 14 years.
I love it. Call us I love it. Here, I'm going to give you a high five on that one. That's the same thing. Yeah. Everyone tells me and Christy the same thing. Oh, you guys are still on your honeymoon.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got to tell you, honestly, no, not so much.
You were off your honeymoon before you got married.
No. And we used to hold hands all the time, but... not so much anymore.
Grab Mark's hand.
Yeah,
see what
do
he
it.
Does.
Yeah, just do it.
Yeah.
It just makes it. It just feels good.
He might be like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?"
You don't like this.
Right, exactly.
Do you know him?
Yeah, exactly. No, you should do it, Mark. And if you're listening, you should grab Tiffany's hand every now and then. Just do it, just for the heck of it. Walk down the street together.
Watch, when you know what? This is the time he fell asleep.
Nice. When you guys are walking the dogs together or something,
I'm way ahead of Mark because I have Marley, and Marley goes super fast,
gotcha.
And he has the old dog that goes super slow. So when
all
we
right.
walk the dogs. We're not even here. I'm already halfway.
Then do something. I just like being, I always tell Christy, I like being in her vicinity.
Yes.
I like, we don't have to be talking. We don't have to be holding hands sometimes. But when we're in the house, I just like knowing that she's there.
Yep.
Okay. And so that's just beautiful.
So every once in a while, Marty will say, Marco. And then Christy will, Polo.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Exactly.
Okay, she's still here.
You've been there, right? Yeah. She'll be like, I'm working. All right. So let's just jump into this really quick.
Okay.
Since we did a little bit ahead of time, I'm going to read the last three again because what we'll do is we'll just continue the conversation. I really like the way the conversation is going, and I don't want to cut anything off. So we did B is build trust. A is appreciate each other. C is communicate effectively. O is overcome challenges together, which we talked about a little bit. And N is nurture your relationship. And I think this is important. I just want to talk about this communication. Is one of the toughest things for me, and again, generally speaking, is guys like to fix problems. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if I'm faced with a problem, I want to fix it. If my wife, the person I love, the person I adore, has a problem, then I want to fix that problem.
Mm-mm.
Okay? Well, that's what I'm saying. I want to. When I was a single father and raising a daughter and a son, my daughter would have these problems, and this was the love of my life, my daughter. And so what would happen is I would immediately come up with, this is a solution. Did you try this? Did you try this? And it took me many, many years, a long time, between my daughter teaching me this and my wife, Christy, teaching me, sometimes I'm not looking for a solution.
Right.
I just need an ear. And that is so difficult for many men to
really?
Do.
Really? Right.
Oh, my God. It's
yes.
extremely.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll stand there and sometimes talk with her, and she's telling me something, and I can see that all she wants to do is tell me what's going on.
Yes.
And I have a solution, and I find myself, my palms are starting to sweat, and I'm rubbing my hands together, and I'm like going, like, I have a solution, but I'm not going to share it unless you ask. And I'll sit and I'll listen, and it's taken a long time to understand. And I've talked with Christy, and she buys into this. And I said, as much as you talk like that and you say, I don't want you to solve a problem, I want you to just empathize with me and listen to me. You also have to understand that I, as a man, want to solve a problem. So you need to let me solve a problem every once in a while. It's a give and take. Okay,
it is. And I would say it this way. So one of the solutions to
yes.
that is the listening, because it is hard for men because we want to help. But now I think it's good for, especially here, because I don't know the size of the audience, but I think this is good for women to understand.
Sure.
The reason men want to solve a problem is because they care about you and they love you. They want to protect you. They want to give you everything they can.
Yes.
Because they have this deep, you're their, I don't want to minimize women and say you're their prize, but you are everything to them. And that's why men want to solve it, because they don't want to see you in pain. They don't want to see you hurt. And that's why men's perspective is, how do I help? What can I do to make it better? Right? And that's why men are that way. But for the men in the audience, you do have to listen. And what I've learned from my wife is just to ask her when she's done.
Yes.
Is just, is there anything I can do to help? Is there anything you need me to do? Is there anything you want me to do? And I just ask her those questions. And usually the answer is no.
Right.
But I've learned to ask that, because then if she says yeah, then that gives me some permission to say, well, have you thought of this, or have you thought of this? Instead of saying, so I've changed that language too.
Sure,
instead of saying, do this, I say, well, have you thought of approaching it maybe this way, or approaching it this way, or, you know, that way? Because then it's not me telling her. It's
right.
me trying to maybe open up the thought process for her with what she's struggling with, to maybe try and come up with her own solution. And then I'm not fixing the problem for her. I'm just helping her think outside the box, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm sorry, a quick Tiffany story.
Don't apologize.
I was driving home, and I had such a rough day at work, and I was in tears, and I was so upset, so I called up Mark to vent.
Sure.
Well, I'm driving, and he's letting me talk, and I'm like, and this, and I'm crying and going on and on and on and on and on. And I'm going past Barrington, and I go, Mark, thank you so much for listening to me. I just needed to vent. Thank you so much. And he goes, Tip, I am so sorry. There was a bad connection. I didn't hear a word you said. So that's why he wasn't giving me any type of advice, because he couldn't hear me, because it was a bad connection.
And here he owned up to that, man. I would have said, well, that's how sensitive I am. I've just been listening.
I was. I'm like, right. Oh my God, thank you so much for just listening. I had to get this off my chest, and thank you so much, because he was the first person I called to vent because I had such a bad day. He's like, Tip, I'm so sorry. I didn't hear a word of it.
Well, at least you didn't say, could you repeat all that again?
Oh, yeah, no kidding, right? Right.
Oops.
That's
funny.
Perfect. That's right, yeah. And I'm like, really?
Really?
Yeah. But I would say early in my relationships, it was this whole thing of, I would hear a problem, and I went, well, this is how I would handle it. I don't want you to fix it. And in my mind, I'd go, then why are you telling me the story?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, why are you telling me if you don't want to solve the problem? Or if you know the solution, then just go take care of it. And it's just a different mindset.
Total different mindset. Yeah.
So have you heard that women speak 20,000 words in a day, and men speak 7?
Right. Yeah. Not 7,000. Not 7,000, just 7.
No, just 7.
I never heard that.
You never heard that? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's it. Yeah.
So you said 20,000?
Women speak 20,000
okay,
words
so
in a day.
So Tiffany probably speaks maybe 100,000?
Sure. There you go.
So, all good. I'm a little
there
bit more than that.
Right. So about 3 times more.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just because you're better at being open with your communication. And men solve problems inside their head, or we bury them deep inside our gut and die on the table 5 times.
No.
Right?
But I want to say one more thing about communication, because I don't know where we are in time.
No, we're fine.
I think they cut us off.
All of a sudden, we're going to we fade off. Right.
They misspelled bacon again.
That's right.
No.
Yeah.
But I feel, and the people that I've worked with, that one of the biggest things that people miss is that communication piece.
Yes.
I think you can take so much in life, whether you're talking about your employer, your employees, your spouses, your children, all that communication piece disappears off the table, and then everybody gets frustrated because nobody knows. It's like you've been remarried.
Sure.
I've been married for the first time, and you enter into these situations, but if you don't know what somebody's expectations are, if you don't communicate, hey, these are my expectations, or this is how I thought the day would go or the night would go, then that's what causes that struggle and that anxiety between each other. And that's why half the time these guys were like, what did I do wrong? Because you sometimes don't know. But to be able to communicate that is so important, and that even touches on like the vulnerability.
Yeah, completely.
You know, sometimes the reaction for somebody is based on something that is bothering them in the past. I've got a chapter in my book called It's Not About the Dishes, right?
Okay.
And it's basically that thing where you walk in the house and you have a bad day, and just, or you walk in and you say, why aren't the dishes done? And your wife's like, well, I didn't have time. But it's not about the dishes. Something triggered you on the way home.
Yep.
But then she's hearing something else. Oh, he's calling me lazy. Or this is that. Right?
Boom.
And all of that happens. And then you just have a disaster.
Yep.
Right.
And it's because nobody takes the time to communicate and say, you know, this, I had a rough day. And so I even tell people, don't say, how was your day? Say, tell me about your day. Because how was your day? We always lead negative. Have you ever noticed
that?
How was your day? Oh, my God.
You know what? Blah, blah, blah did and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
How was your day? Well, it was good. I had lunch. You know, you can. Right. It's a different
way. I came home and the dishes weren't done.
There you go. Nice. One of the things in communication in all relationships, and this is whether you're working together or in a couples, is I like the idea of saying, we have common goals. You know, we have a goal as a team, you know, the two of us. But, you know, Christy has her own goals in life, her own dreams and aspirations, and I've got mine. Mm-hmm. And with communication, what we've got to do is continue to say, so Christy, what are your dreams? What are your goals? What do you want out of life? And let me see how I can help you reach those. And these are the things I want out of life, and see if how you can help me reach mine. And together, if we're working together, what are our goals as a couple? Okay, because if I can help you do your thing and you can help me do my thing, then doing our thing is so much easier. And I think too often what happens is somebody goes, no, I don't have any dreams. Just whatever you want to do, that's what I'll do.
Do you think it's okay to have your own time apart?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I think it's healthy because you always have to have time to decompress.
Yeah.
You know, I think, and you always have to deal with your own thoughts at some point. So
right.
I think it's important to be able to have some of that separation when you can.
As a woman, that's what I think, too. So I wanted to get the man's point of view on that.
Definitely. No, I think it can be important, for sure.
Good. Right. Good. Yeah. Okay, so with that, before we even end, because we can come back to this in a little bit. William, I am so sure that so many of the listeners are going to want to learn more from you. So the best way to get a hold of you is williamzenobia.com.
Yeah, just go to my website.
Do you want Tiffany to spell that, or do you want to spell it?
Well, you know. Do I got to spell William, too?
Well, some people are Willem. But you're William.
I am William, yes. Right. Do I really need to spell
it? W-I-L-L.
I-A-M, and then Zenobia is the last name, and it is Z as in zebra, E-N-O, B as in boy, I-A. .com.
Excellent.
And it's a very phonetic. So if you're actually raised with phonetics,
yes,
you sound it out, and that's exactly how it sounds. Zenobia.
Excellent. That's and you're up in Wisconsin, right?
I am Wisconsin. Yeah,
but you're more than happy to help anyone from Alaska to Zenobia.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Right. Just cover my flight. I'm there.
There you go.
Just cover my flight.
There you go.
That's funny.
You sound like one of these kid commercials. All right. So with that, any closing remarks from either of you? Tiff, you got one more quote for us? A beautiful, wonderful, delicious quote?
Marriage is sharing your life with your best friend, enjoying the journey along the way, arriving at every destination together.
Ah, that's beautiful.
Fawn Weaver.
Who was?
Fawn Weaver.
Nice.
Okay.
Thank you for saving that to the end. I want to say I'm glad we touched on the idea between like, love, and lust. Mm-hmm. Because I'm blessed to have a relationship with Christy where every one of those takes highs, okay? That sometimes I just walk up to her and she'll go, what are you looking at? I go, I just want to tell you I like you, okay? Because there are certain times where I just really like her. I like having her around me. I like talking to her. I like the way she smiles. I like the way she comments. I like the way she interacts with other people. Other times I love her. I just want to hold her, okay? And just if she's in pain, I want to be that one holding and hugging her, and I want her to cry on my shoulder. I want to be the one that she loves back and she respects. And then oftentimes, I mean, we've been married 8 years and dating for 4 years before that, but I still lust for her, okay? I still think about her all the time. She is everything to me, and I just absolutely love the fact that I found someone who I can like, lust for, and love.
So I would say this, regardless of where you are in your relationship, I've always gone back to this is all, it's really a choice in the end.
Sure.
Right? It's a choice. So you can choose to readjust what you're missing. I mean, you need to work together, but you know, if you're feeling like you're on that downswing, then, you know, you still have the opportunity to change that.
You never settle. You never choose.
You choose. Everything's a choice.
I love it.
It's a choice.
Absolutely love it. Well, thank you all so much for listening. We went the full hour, I think, and a little bit longer. So we'll see if anyone hears this on the podcast. But tune in to the podcast at Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. All right. I want to thank our special guest, William Zenobia.